Last time on the Skip and Josh podcast.
I've talked to five people, including you, and they've all told me it's real. It's a fan video made by Islanders fans, basically, with this sappy music, and they're practically crying and talking about how Tavares is a traitor and he was their leader and how could he desert them. It's like one of those articles on The Onion where you don't, where reality and fake news are mixing, you know, and you don't know what's what.
It's like, real and it's spectacular.
You're listening to the Skip and Josh podcast with Skip Sherman and Josh Obadia.
I'm Josh in Toronto.
And I'm Skip in Montreal.
In today's episode, a blast from the past,
interesting TV schedules,
and diva wide receivers.
But first, some sad news in the entertainment industry.
Okay, Skip, it's time for another episode of our show. And I think it's obvious what we need to talk about at the top of the show. There's no question.
It's obvious.
Yeah.
Well, okay, go for it.
Well, I mean, the unfortunate passing of Luke Perry.
Oh my God. This is how you want to start the show? I can't believe it. I mean, I don't want to say I'm pleasantly surprised because it's a terrible thing, but I'm surprised you want to talk about it. And yes, I do want to talk about it.
Okay. Well then, you know, I wasn't the biggest 90210 fan on the planet.
No.
It was one of those shows that was on a channel that I didn't get.
Well, in Canada, we always had, we got on to 902 in Canada much later than everybody in the United States. The craze already started.
Right.
And then when it got to Canada, we were like, oh my God, we finally got 90210. I remember it was such a big deal, you know?
But that was like towards the end of the show, towards the end of the series.
We had to catch up on some seasons when it first came to Canada, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I have one 90210 story for you.
Okay, yeah.
I was a counselor on West Coast Connection one year in California. Mm-hmm. And we happened to be at the beach one day and they were shooting a scene of 90210 and they were literally this close to us.
At the beach club. Yeah.
It wasn't at the beach club.
No, but you know, they used to have those episodes at the beach club.
I honestly,
in the summer.
I don't remember.
You don't know. You don't
so,
know.
So it wasn't Shannon Doherty, but who was the other, the blonde one? What was her name?
Jenny Garth.
Yes. So she was in the scene and I don't remember. I think it was not Luke Perry, but the other dude, Vanderbeek.
No, Jason Priestley. Vanderbeek is Dawson's Creek.
Sorry, I'm getting them mixed up. Yeah. So Jason Priestley and
Jenny Garth.
Yes, though they were the two that were in that scene. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty funny to see them shooting it. And then, of course, when I got home, the episode was on, I don't know, a month or two later.
Right. Okay, that's cool.
I think I even recorded it, and I think I have the VHS of that episode. So that's my only 90210 story.
Anybody who's our age, we might be on the older side, I think. Or maybe not. I don't know. Like, 90210 was huge. I mean, when that show came on, I know when we were already around 19 or 20 when we probably started watching it here. And we were like a little bit older for the demographic probably because it's aimed at teens, right? Mm-hmm. But I got hooked into it right away. Everybody that I knew watched it. I mean, like, not everybody knows, like, we shared an apartment for a couple of years as roommates, and I remember we used to have people come over and we used to watch we used to watch 90210 and then Party of Five.
I don't remember us watching 90210. I do remember us watching Party of Five.
Yeah, no, they were back to back and we used to watch both of them. But then look, I mean, it's a terrible thing that he passed away. He's so young. He's just a little bit older than us, to be honest. And, you know, 90210 is going to live on, honestly, forever. I mean, it's going to be one of these shows that it's kind of iconic.
And it spawned Melrose Place. It spawned Dawson's Creek.
Well, I mean, it really spawned Melrose Place. That was the same creator, Darren Star. And then Dawson's Creek and Felicity. There was all these teen shows that came after, right? Like, it was the first one. And the networks realized, hey, we've got something here. We can put these teens and we can reach a whole new demographic, right? You know, like, and all new advertisers. And, you know, it's sort of like, to me, it's like the start of that, like, you know, when they talk about advertising demographics, like the 18 to 24, like, wasn't 902 the first show to like 90210 the first show to like go after that demographic, you know, like 18 to 24 year olds?
I guess.
It must have been. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're not in TV advertising or anything like this, but yeah. Wow. I can't believe you wanted to start the show with that. That's awesome. I mean, it sucks because it was really sad, and I was shocked when I heard the news. It was really shocking, you know?
Yeah, I was shocked as well.
You know what? I mean, look, I was more of a Brandon guy. I never really liked Dylan.
Brandon is Jason Priestley.
Yeah. Dylan was the rebel, and he was dark and mysterious, and was always so stupid because he would leave the show, and then he would come back, and then he would have a drinking problem, and then he would have a drug problem.
He always had
so much money, you know, like, it didn't matter how much. He always had so much money, it's like, it didn't matter what he did, you know.
Did any of these kids have parents on the show?
Brandon and Brenda Walsh, Jason Priestley and Shannon Doherty, were brother and sister, and their parents were characters.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if you remember the beginning of the show. They moved from Minnesota to California, and that was the premise of the show. It was like this Midwestern family moving to Beverly Hills and the culture shock. You know?
So just like the Lakers.
Yeah, just like the Lakers. Yeah. All right, let's talk about sports.
No, hold on. Speaking of television... More.
Uh-huh.
Do you still watch The Goldbergs?
When it's on, when I happen to catch it, but it's not appointment viewing.
So the reason I ask is because I discovered this only a week ago, but since January, there's a show that's on right after The Goldbergs.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's almost like one, they've made it almost like 1 hour long show, even though
I saw the trailer for it. It's a spinoff of the show.
Right. It's called Schooled.
Yeah. Where she becomes the teacher.
Yeah,
exactly. Barry's girlfriend. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it looks incredibly stupid.
Well, it's not the greatest show, but it's interesting how they make it into like one almost seamless show because it's hard to tell where one ends and the other one begins, which I've never actually seen that. But the interesting thing about it is, you know how on The Goldbergs, it's set in the 80s. So the music that you hear is the 80s music and the films and the shows that they reference are 80s shows. But
now this is 90s.
This is 90s. So it's 90s music and it's 90s movies. And I love the 90s.
Well,
and
the 90s is the best music.
To me, it is.
No. I think there's a lot of even music critics that will say the 90s spawned the best music because you had, in every generation, there's always pop music. That's going to exist, whatever the music of the day is, you know? But I mean, 90s brought us the grunge and the alternative, and those genres were mainstream, right? Like,
yeah.
A little bit, right? So, like, to me, that's the best, you know? But.
So anyway, I actually like the show, not for the show itself, but for the music and also the movies that they reference, you know, like She's All That and I forget which other ones, but it's anyway.
That's cool.
That's all.
You could just turn on a Spotify playlist for 90s music and you don't have to watch the show.
I'm the one person who doesn't have Spotify or Netflix.
Okay. All right. So sports.
The National Football League.
Is this true that the Eagles are trading Michael Bennett to the Patriots?
It's true, yes.
Are you upset about that?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, he makes too much money. It was always understood that he was always like a fill-in. He was a nice to have. To be honest, he wasn't even a starter until they had injuries on the defensive line. He only really started and became an important player on the defense later in the season and in the playoffs, but they could replace him. I mean, they could replace him, and he makes too much money. They need to. They asked him, "Will you restructure your contract?" And he said, "No, I want to make more than I did last year, not less." So they'll trade him and they'll replace him with someone else. You know how the NFL is. It's like guys move around like crazy, you know?
Yeah. So explain this to me. It seems like the Patriots do this every year where they acquire some, you know, really good player.
Yeah.
And they have to pay him a bunch of money. How are the Patriots able to afford all these guys?
Well, what the Patriots are doing is they're going to get rid of Trey Flowers.
Okay.
Who's supposed to make $16 million, and they're going to replace him with Michael Bennett, who's going to make $7 million. That's how they do it.
Okay.
Right?
Well, you could just cut a guy and not pay him in the NFL. Like, if you cut a guy, you don't have to pay him.
Yeah, you could just cut a guy. But in this case, I don't know if Trey Flowers is being cut or being traded or whatever. But, I mean, that's what they're going to do. The smart organizations in the NFL, I mean, you need to be a smart organization. And the Patriots have proved it because they're so ruthless. Like you've said before, right? if you're too old and you're not producing anymore, they're not going to just say, yeah, we're going to extend your contract because we're going to be loyal to you. No, you're gone. You know, you are gone. And it's going to happen to Tom Brady. We're going to see if it's going to happen to Tom Brady. We haven't gotten into that situation yet because he's still good, right?
Yeah. And but, so sticking with football.
Yeah.
Remember when we talked about Joe Flacco going to the Broncos?
Yeah.
And I thought it was an upgrade for the Broncos from Case Keenum, and you didn't think so.
It's not an upgrade.
So now what do you think about Case Keenum going to the Redskins?
Well, it's just, what's the expression?
Shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic?
That's exactly it. You read my mind. They're shuffling. I mean, it's like one or the other. Like, none of these names are going to make an impact on their team. Joe Flacco is not suddenly going to turn Denver into a contender. And Case Keenum is not suddenly going to turn the Redskins into a contender.
So between Joe Flacco and Case Keenum and Nick Foles, who would you prefer to have if you were
for sure, Foles.
Okay.
I would say. I mean, look, he won the Super Bowl. I think he's the only quarterback of those three that could actually win you a game on his talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. The other guys they're just there, you know?
All right.
Well, look, the Redskins didn't plan on having Keenum. They had Alex Smith, who's better than all those guys, right? Even Foles, I would say, when healthy. Alex Smith is a good quarterback.
He is. He might never walk again.
I don't know. Like, I mean, he's definitely, I don't think he's ever going to play again. That's for sure. Hmm. Walking, I hope he can. But I
hope
mean,
so
I
too.
Know his injury was so severe that, I mean, that's that. But I mean, I hope that all these teams, you know, that the Broncos and the Redskins, I hope that they're going to draft a quarterback because these guys are not your future, you know?
You know, it's funny. They're talking about how Kyler Murray is going to be picked number one overall. And if you rewind just a couple of months ago, they were talking about how he might not even be a first round pick. And now they're saying he's going to be the first overall pick. And nothing has happened between these 2 months. It's just that it's people's perception. Yeah. I mean, he went to the combine and he'd even throw a football. And yet they're saying he's going to be the first overall pick. How stupid is that?
I don't understand the combine. Okay, first of all, I get the NFL Network, as you know, right?
Yes.
So they actually televised the combine.
The combine actually was on ABC, regular television. Forget about the NFL Network.
That's wild. But, I mean, I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah, Kyler Murray, he goes to the combine and he says, just measure my height.
Yeah.
That's all he does. Yeah. He just wants them to see that he's his actual height.
Mm-hmm.
And weight, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's it. And he said, okay, thank you. I'm not going to throw.
And even, which that on its own is kind of ridiculous because the whole point of the combine is to see a player in action.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it gets even crazier because, you know, you can have your own opinion on whether he throws, a strong throw or whether it's a nice spiral or whether he's able to, you know, escape out of the pocket. You know, you can have your own opinion on that. But something like height and weight, there's no opinion. It is what it is. Yet, I've heard different reports on what his height is since then. Like, how could there be different reports? It's your height.
It's your height. Your height is your height. And then you know, with this, which is just, what is his height? 5'10"?
Maybe.
Okay, so let's say it's 5'10". I don't even know what it is. But what's interesting is that you'll see, like, people, like, scouts or NFL insiders are like, oh, 5'10". I don't know. I think that's too short.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can be an effective quarterback in the league at 5'10". Okay, well, what about Drew Brees?
Right, you know? Right. Or what's his name? Russell Wilson.
Yeah, exactly.
And isn't Baker Mayfield? He's not that tall either, if I recall.
He might be a little bit taller, but he's not a tall guy. He's not a Carson Wentz, like a 6'5".
Right,
you know?
And you know who is tall, by the way? Brock Osweiler. Very tall.
Yeah, and he stinks.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember Dan McGuire?
No.
No. Okay. Mark McGuire's brother.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay. He was drafted in the first round. This is like in the 80s. I believe by the Seahawks. I mean, I got to fact check that. But he was drafted in the first round specifically because he was like 6'5" and he was huge and he could throw the ball a million miles. And like, I just asked you if you ever heard of him, and you said no, because now you know why. He sucked, right? Like, I'm such a broken record. I mean, like, NFL quarterbacks, it's not about how far you can throw and how fast you can run. And, like, all that stuff is important, but it's all about making decisions, and you can't tell, you can't decide that in the combine. You can't know that in the combine, but you can know that by watching all his games at Oklahoma and seeing what he did.
Right. Know? I mean, someone could argue that the defense he's playing against in college is not the of defense course. He's going to face in the pros, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that's all they have to judge. But I just don't understand Arizona. They took Rosen last year,
right,
and he was supposed to be the quarterback of the future.
Right.
They basically, I mean, it's not that they didn't give him a chance. I mean, he played a little bit, but mm-hmm. their team stank.
Mm-hmm.
They threw him into a situation where he was never, ever going to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And now they're like, oh no, we're gonna go get Kyler Murray now.
Well, part of it is they have different people making decisions this year.
Yes.
And the other thing is, if they do take Kyler Murray, they're going to trade Josh Rosen. And you know what? They'll probably be able to trade Josh Rosen because we've said it here. There's 10 or 12 teams that need a quarterback. So
yeah, and actually, I think there's many, many scouts that believe that Rosen was actually the best quarterback. I mean, think the best quarterback of that draft last year.
Right. There you were know, five when Baker Mayfield in the first went,
round. When Baker Mayfield was the first quarterback taken, a lot of people were surprised, right? Mm-hmm. Because there was a whole bunch of other choices, and including Rosen as one of them. You know, and the guy on the Jets, what's his name? Sam Darnold, right? Like
right.
there was a bunch of quarterbacks, and no one, there was no consensus about who was the best one.
Mm-hmm.
Even the week before the draft, you're like, well, some people thought Rosen was going to be the best one, you know? So,
and the guy that was picked last of those five is the one on the Baltimore Ravens now, right? He was the last one of those picked.
Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson, and he might be the best one or one of the top two.
He's the only one that actually had success this year.
Right.
Well, Baker Mayfield had success, I shouldn't say.
I mean,
Baker Mayfield was a good quarterback in the second half of the season.
In fairness to Lamar Jackson or to the other quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson was on a decent team, whereas the other guys were not.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson was on a team with probably, look, I don't have the stats in front of me, but it was one of the top-ranked defenses in the league,
right,
Baltimore.
Right, right. So,
and they didn't ask Jackson to do very much in terms of throwing, right? Like, he was just run around and make plays, basically, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah. So, can we continue with some of free agency stuff?
Sure.
2 weeks ago, you told Antonio Brown to shut up.
Did I tell him that?
Or I thought you did anyways, but
I told what's his name, Scottie Pippen, to shut up.
Oh yeah. I think Antonio Brown too,
okay,
anyways.
It's possible.
I don't remember. But he hasn't shut up.
No, he's doubled down.
He doubled down, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The craziest thing yesterday is like he got traded to the Bills.
So I don't understand because I wake up this morning and he's still on the Steelers. So explain to me.
There was, you know how it works, like when like Adam Schefter or these guys are saying he's traded to the Bills, I mean, the trade was there. And then basically they found out he's just not going to go to Buffalo. So then Buffalo's like, well, I guess we can't do the trade then.
Well, that's a good reason not to.
Yeah. But then now he's doing the same thing that's happening in the NBA with Antonio Davis, right? He's like, he has his contract. There's still two more years left on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's still two more years left on it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't want to play for Pittsburgh. You have to trade me. And then he's dictating where he's going to get traded to by basically saying, like, I'm not going to go to this team. And, mm-hmm. and it's forcing Pittsburgh to trade him where he wants to go. And it's interesting because he supposedly, well, you know who his agent is, right? Drew Rosenhaus.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
That guy's no good.
Wasn't he
Terrell Owens'
agent as well?
Yeah. That worked out well. And so they asked the Steelers, can Rosenhaus go make the trade for you? Can he approach teams that Brown wants to go to start the trade talks,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Steelers told him no. And then now this is where we are.
Well, they should tell him no because it's not his place to make a trade.
I know,
if he's gonna like only narrow it down to like, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 teams.
Yeah.
If I'm the Steelers and he still has a contract and he doesn't report to training camp, well, I'm not paying him.
Yeah. Well, I told my son yesterday, I said, if I'm the Steelers right now, I would tell him, look, we're not trading you. Report to training camp and come to all the team activities. And that's that. We plan on having you on the team this year.
Right.
Which is obviously not true, but it, you know, that's what they should come out and say.
Absolutely.
And when he doesn't show up, well, then you don't pay him.
Right.
If he wants to sit out this year and next year, you tell him, we're prepared to have you sit out this year and next year. Too bad.
Exactly.
It's really bad, Pittsburgh. I don't know what the hell happened there.
I don't think it's them. I think it's the player.
But how come Le'Veon Bell has the same problem?
Well, it's not exactly the not same the thing. Same, Le'Veon Bell was a free agent, right? Like,
well, Le'Veon Bell was specifically about money, whereas the Antonio Brown, he's saying it's about money, but I think he just wants to. He's a diva wide receiver.
Yeah, he's a diva wide receiver, and these guys are like they want to dictate everything and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's comical.
I don't know. I don't know where. I don't honestly don't know where he's gonna end up.
I don't know either.
You don't know either? No one knows. No. I mean, honestly, there hasn't been many rumors about, like, oh, he's going to go here, he's going to go there, you know? I heard maybe the Jets, but he'll probably say, I don't want to go to the Jets. You know? The New York press will chew him up and spit him out if he has this attitude. Yeah, they'll run him out of town so fast,
his career will be over. He'll probably love that.
He'll probably love it, I guess. I don't know. All right, that's it for the NFL. I mean, the NFL free agent period actually hasn't started yet. So we actually haven't really scratched the surface of all the players that are about to get cut and moved. And
but one more football note.
Yeah.
This is about the XFL.
Mm-hmm.
They hired a new coach this week.
Okay.
Mark Trestman.
The XFL.
Yes.
Wow. Wonder how much they paid him.
I don't know.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's interesting because to me, Mark Trestman seems like one of these guys who is like morally, he's like above everybody. He's like, it's all about the football. It's all about the players. It's all about the learning, the teaching, you know, like Coach Trestman, you know, like, and then the XFL. Like,
well, the XFL has cleaned up their act. I told you, you can't have a criminal record and play in the league anymore.
I know, but I mean, is it really going to be a legit league? I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. They have some legit coaches.
I guess. I mean, whatever. We'll see what happens when it launches. Yeah. I mean, everybody's going to watch the first week. You know, the one thing the XFL has that the AAF doesn't is that the XFL has the whole WWE machine behind it. You know, like this billion-dollar company, you know? So they can market the crap out of it, you know, on the WWE network, on all the wrestling on TV, you know, they can advertise it and get it in front of people, you know?
Yeah, but you told me you saw the AAF on the NFL network. I'm surprised that would happen.
But that's by accident.
No. Just, it's by accident that you saw it, but it's not by accident that it was there. I'm surprised the NFL would even acknowledge the other league.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, I guess there's nothing else to put on. So why not just put on some football?
I guess. Right?
Get some eyeballs.
College basketball.
Do you want to talk some college basketball?
I would love to.
So I didn't get to see the second half of the Duke game against Wake Forest. And as you know, Duke should have won that game easily. And Duke was lucky to win by a point.
Yeah, I saw the whole game.
I saw the highlights. And clearly, the team is in trouble without Zion.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's playing tonight against North Carolina, which is the most important game of the year.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play until the ACC tournament, maybe.
Well that's or
maybe
next
even
week.
Not. Maybe even to the maybe he's going to just going to play in the NCAA tournament. They haven't said.
I find it a little strange because they said that the knee sprain was not a severe thing and he's been out more than a week now.
Yeah.
So
more than a week, it's been a few weeks.
Right. So I mean, I think he's actually healthy.
Yeah.
So maybe. Now the reason he's not playing has nothing to do with his physical
Well, they're being condition. They're probably just being extra cautious because there's no point. What's the point of him playing at this point?
Well, no, tonight's an important game.
Yeah, but I mean, they're still going to be a one or two seed in the NCAA tournament, regardless of whether they win or lose tonight.
Fine, but don't you want to win the ACC tournament? Don't you want to win the ACC regular season?
No, the ACC tournament you want to win, but that has nothing to do with tonight's game.
Right, but tonight's game has a lot to do with the regular season title.
Tonight's game is the game you want to win anyways, because they killed us in our building, and we want to kill them in their building. Right.
Oh, and by the way, it's not televised in Canada.
This is what I wanted to talk to you about. Mm. I want to make our American listeners know, and there's a lot of them, the pain we have here, the pain we're feeling, because the Duke North Carolina game is not televised in Canada.
This is the most important Duke game of the season.
Yeah.
TSN has shown, I think, 90% of the Duke games on television this year because there's a Canadian guy on the team, RJ Barrett, and this game is not televised in Canada. Now, I will say that TSN sometimes does strange things. They have five different channels and they put the same thing on four of them. Tonight, I looked. There's actually five different things on all five different channels.
I noticed that too.
And yet, they couldn't figure out to put the game on one of those five.
Do you think it's streaming on the TSN.ca?
I'm sure it is, but that doesn't help me because, well, A, I can't record it off my computer.
Oh, you want to record the game?
I was going to maybe record it or whatever and watch it later. But nonetheless, I don't like to watch things on my computer. I just don't.
No, I don't like to watch them on my computer either.
It means I have to bring my computer into the other room and then hook it up. And then when I'm watching on my computer, I can't adjust. Like, I can't rewind or fast forward with my remote control.
It's not as enjoyable. I know it's not. But I mean, if this is the only way you could watch it, it's the only way you could watch it, no?
I guess. I mean, I'm sure it's on TSN.ca, but that doesn't really help me.
I'm actually looking it up right now.
Okay.
Okay, so we can watch it on the computer, which I probably will, because I'll have no other choice. I know Saturday night is tough. I understand the Canadian broadcaster's problem. Saturday night is a tough thing because hockey is...
Hold on. But it's not tough for TSN because they don't have the hockey rights on Saturdays.
That's right. You're right. I'm so sorry. You are correct. TSN, so what are they showing? Curling the Briar?
Well, one channel has curling. One channel has UFC. One channel has some kind of tennis tournament.
Yeah.
One channel has SportsCenter. Like, why do you need to show me SportsCenter?
Yeah. Well, let's hope that there's a last minute change, because remember a few weeks ago I told you one of the games is on TSN and you said, oh, they must have changed it.
Yes, but that change was made in the middle of the night, so it would have already happened. And I looked at the guide this morning and it had not happened yet.
I know. I looked also at the guide this morning. So you sent me an interesting link. I think it was yesterday.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. To vote for the players of the year at all the different positions, right?
Correct.
Right. So I actually did my vote and I casted it. I submitted my vote and I wanted to know, like, if we were on the same page. I think we're probably going to have all the same players.
Okay. Well, I know two of them will be the same.
Yeah. So point guard.
Also known as the Bob Cousy Award.
Yeah.
So I picked Josh Perkins because he has the same first name as me, and also because he plays on Gonzaga, and they are one of the few teams that defeated Duke this year.
Good criteria. I like it.
Who did you pick?
I picked that guy, Ja Morant. He plays on Murray State. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about this guy?
No.
You haven't heard about him?
I mean, I've heard the name, but I don't know anything about him.
When they're talking about who are going to be who's going to be the top picks in this year's draft, obviously Barrett, Zion, Reddish are always in the conversation, and this guy.
Okay. Actually, okay. I have, now that you mentioned it, I've heard his name, yes.
He has ridiculous stats. I know he plays on a small team, Murray State, and, you know, they're not in a big conference and everything, but, I mean, I think they're going to make it to the tournament, and I hope they do, because everybody needs to see this guy on the big stage, right? Because apparently he's the most electric player in the game, you know, in terms of point guard, anyways.
Are they the Racers, Murray State?
The Murray State Racers, yes.
Awesome.
So shooting guard.
Also known as the Jerry West Award.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure we both have RJ Barrett.
Of course.
Then, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, he is leading the ACC in scoring.
Yes, his shooting percentage isn't that great, but yes, he does have the most points. And he's broken a lot of Duke records and ACC records.
The Julius Erving Award for small forward. I feel that they screwed around with the players that were eligible here. But anyways...
So I picked Rui Hachimura from Gonzaga, again, because Gonzaga is one of the few teams that defeated Duke this year. And also, I recall in that game that Hachimura had a really good game.
He's the best player on Gonzaga, and Gonzaga is the number one team in the country. I also picked Hachimura. I just found it weird because they have him in the small forward category. And
he's not small. Yes,
he's not small.
No.
He's the same height as Zion Williamson. He's just 50 pounds lighter. But that's because Zion is like a giant. So yeah. I just found it a little bit weird that he's in the small forward category. I felt like maybe they were trying to give it to him. I don't know. The Karl Malone Award for the power forward, which I just think it's funny that they give it to Karl Malone. They name it after Karl Malone. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure we both had Zion Williamson.
Yes, I picked Zion.
Who did you have for the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Award as the top center in the country?
So... there's only one guy on this list that I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
And the only reason I've heard of him is because Chris Saliza talks about him, and that's Jesse Govan of Georgetown. So that's who I picked.
He's pretty good, though. I mean, and Georgetown is a decent team, right?
They're a little bit better than they used to be.
I mean, I picked Ethan Happ of Wisconsin. I mean, I feel like I kind of know him because he's a senior. We see him in the tournament every year, you know, and now he's a star and he's their best player. And Wisconsin's a top 20 team, you know. So I'm actually excited to see Georgetown in the tournament. I think they can make a lot of noise, by the way.
Now, one other college basketball note. We were railing on TSN for not showing the Duke game tonight. However, I've discovered that they will be showing the entire ACC tournament on TSN.
That is huge.
So that's kind of exciting.
That is huge because the last 2 years, I've watched the ACC tournament on the ACC network online because that was literally the only place we could find it.
That's right.
That's great, actually. That's great news.
And it starts Tuesday, the ACC tournament, your information. Yeah.
Sounds good. All right. That's it for college basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, our next episode is going to be our March Madness preview.
Oh, yeah. We should let Neil know. We're going to need you on the...
I will let him know through the podcast.
I hope you're available, Neil, on March 18th, the evening of March 18th. It's a Monday because that's the only day that we can record our preview. So circle that date on your calendar, Neil.
I saw that you opened up the bracket challenge already.
Yeah, I got a notification from CBS saying that I could start, you know, inviting people. So I invited you only so far.
Yeah, I'll put the link on the website. Usually I do it only after or when we release our March Madness episode, but I think I'll put it up ahead of time and let people...
Oh yeah, you can put it up today.
Pre-register, you know, like,
of course,
before the brackets come out. So Selection Sunday is a week from tomorrow.
That's right.
And it's the most exciting time of the year. You know?
By the way, last year we were not able to watch the selection show because it was not on CBS.
Correct.
So I'm not sure if we'll be able to watch it this year. You're going to be out of town, so you won't care. Actually, you'll be in the States, so then
No. I'm going to be in Canada. Oh. But last year I watched it because I was in Orlando, so I was able to watch
it. Okay, I was not, and I may not be able to watch it yet again.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Madness. No, it's just madness.
I know. It's like the most exciting hour of television, usually.
Yeah.
In fact, it used to be 30 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, they stretch it to an hour.
It
should still be 30 minutes. Yeah. The way they really drag it out.
They do.
Yeah.
The National Hockey League.
I wanted to just touch on the NHL because the playoff races are heating up.
Yes.
And it always is interesting how... Because this happens every year, right? The teams that are fighting for their lives in the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You always say, oh, yeah, this team's really going to come out and play really hard because they're fighting for their lives and the team that they're playing is already eliminated and they're just playing out the season. And yet, somehow yesterday, Anaheim beat Montreal 8-2 and also Winnipeg beat Carolina 8-1.
Well, Winnipeg should beat Carolina, but... Anaheim should not beat anybody 8-2, except for maybe Ottawa. Carolina has been hot of late, but Winnipeg is actually a really good team.
No. Of course, Winnipeg's a good team. Anaheim is awful. But you know, when a team like Carolina, who needs every point they can get, and then to just come out and lay an egg, is like it's kind of crazy, right? So
yes, it is kind of nuts.
I mean, the playoff picture in the East, it's basically Carolina, Montreal, and Columbus all vying for that last two wildcard spots. Pittsburgh has picked up their game and they've sort of solidified their playoff position. And then obviously Tampa, Boston, Toronto, those have been untouchable all year, you know? And in the West, it looks like Dallas and Minnesota as the wild cards. And I mean, right now, Arizona is the team that's closest to them. And I just can't see them catching them. And now, I don't know if you heard, but Colorado, Gabriel Landeskog's out for the year. So I think Colorado's not going to be able to...
Yeah, that's a huge blow for Colorado.
Make up the points they need. Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to make up the points that they need to get in that playoff spot.
The Avalanche live and die with that top line, so they're done.
Yeah, of course. And it's right now in the West, I think it's more just jostling for position, especially in that Pacific, because the Calgary and San Jose are like one of the first are battling it out for the top spot in the Pacific. I think the Canadians are in big trouble. Just to go back to the Canadian teams, I think they're in big trouble. I told you last week that their last five games are killers, mm-hmm. and they needed to pick up as many points as they can, and now they've just lost two games in a row on the West Coast, and they've lost two games basically really badly where they were embarrassed both games. So kind of, I don't have a lot of hope that they're going to be able to hang on to that last playoff spot.
So I'm going to ask you a question that I asked you like 6 months ago. Would you rather the Canadians squeak into the playoffs and lose in the first round or just not make the playoffs at all?
It's an interesting question because the logical part of me and the pragmatic part of me will tell you, agree with you and say they should have just tanked from the beginning and got another big high draft pick and then try to come out next year and start like start to try to be competitive. But my son brings up a good point because he said, I really hope the Canadians are in the playoffs. And I said, why? He goes, because when the Canadians are in the playoffs, it's so great in the city. It's so great to be in Montreal when the Canadians are in the playoffs. And there's a great feeling in the city and everybody's watching and everybody's following. And it's just a great time to follow hockey when your team's in the playoffs, you know? And so for that reason, I think I would prefer them to make it. I mean, they've come this far. They're into the last, you know, what, 11, 12 games. So might as well go for it at this point, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing you mentioned Carolina, and we haven't talked about it for the last 2 weeks. Have you been following all this business with the storm surge?
Yeah, I have actually. So that, yeah, I mean, they do this, like when they win games at home, they do this sort of celebration and it's different every time. And the fans in Carolina really like it. But of course, there's a prominent sports broadcaster in Canada that thinks it's disrespectful and they shouldn't do it.
You didn't want to say his name? Don Cherry?
Sure, we can say his name.
It's the ultimate like old man screaming at the little kids to get off his lawn.
100%.
It's the ultimate.
100%.
I mean, if they want to do it, let them do it. If their fans love it, then they should keep doing it. If they're winning, which they won, they were one of the hottest teams in the league for a while, like what's their record in their last 10? They're 7-2-1 in their last 10, and it was even higher because they've lost the last couple. I mean, let them keep doing it, you know? We all know that North Carolina is not a hockey market. So if this gets the fans following the Carolina Hurricanes, God knows, like, they need a following, right?
Absolutely.
And if this is what draws people to the team, then let them keep doing it.
You know, in places like Carolina and even Nashville, and I know Nashville has a good team, and there's other cities that I can't think of right now. While they may get good crowds at their games,
mm-hmm.
it's obviously different than any of the Canadian teams because, they get good crowds, but that's all their fans. Like,
right.
People who don't go to the game don't watch the game, I don't think.
Right. So either you go
to the game or you know nothing about the team. It's all or nothing in Carolina. It's all or nothing in Nashville. And there's probably like half a dozen cities like that.
Right. Where everybody that the hardcore fans are the ones that are there. And then that's it.
Yeah. I could be completely wrong with that statement.
No,
it's
no,
just
I feel
that
you're right. But obviously, there are more fans than that. But generally, yes. Because, you know, in the city that where you live and the city where I live, I mean, like, I watch all the games on TV. And there's millions of people that watch all the games on TV, you know? But, like,
and you rarely actually go.
I rarely actually go because tickets are so hard to get and expensive.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, I mean, I hope the Canadians make it. But I really feel really... I don't like their chances.
So you mentioned Carolina, and you forgot to mention that this week they wore their Hartford Whalers uniforms, which
I thought was
phenomenal.
Beautiful.
And someone sent me a link to the to Brass Bonanza this week, and I listened to it, and I loved it.
It's great. The Hartford Whaler uniforms are awesome.
Yeah.
I love that the Canes organization is embracing their Whalers heritage.
I wonder if the Washington Nationals will ever wear Montreal Expos uniforms.
Yeah, right. I mean, they won't, but I mean, And I don't even know if I'd want them to, but look, people need to remember the Whalers they're a part of the history of the league, and we shouldn't forget about them.
I went to a Hartford Whalers game in Hartford.
I know, you told me, at the Civic Center.
It's in a mall.
The Civic Arena.
Well, it wasn't a mall.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the weirdest place for a team. I never understood how Hartford had a team. You know? Yeah. Before we sign off, remember, you can listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Skip and Josh podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and of course, Spotify. If you listen to the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. We would love to hear from you via email, skipandjoshshow@gmail.com, via Twitter, @skipandjosh, or by liking and following our Facebook page. As always, you can get all the links to everything I just talked about on our website, skipandjosh.com.
We leave you with this.
You may recall that about a year ago today, or maybe 11 months ago, I mentioned how Kansas City Royals catcher Salvador Perez injured himself. I think he was trying to bring luggage into the house.
Yes.
Or walking up the stairs. I don't remember exactly.
It was luggage.
Right.
Luggage.
So I have some new Salvador Perez news for our listeners. He actually injured himself about a week ago in spring training, a legitimate injury while playing baseball, not lifting luggage. Right. And unfortunately, he needs Tommy John surgery, and he's going to be out for the year.
Oh, that's too bad.
It is.
Well, the Royals are going nowhere anyways.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
But I mean, maybe next year at this time, we'll have a Salvador Perez story again. You know, we'll continue the tradition.
Once a year.
Yeah.
Good. So I found this little poll on Twitter, and I want to put you on the spot, and you have to answer within the first 5 seconds.
Oh.
Because you know those Twitter polls, you got to answer, like, you answer them quickly without thinking about them.
Rapid fire.
Well, I thought about this one for about 10 seconds, and I answered. So the question is, best career.
What are the choices?
Wayne Gretzky, Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth.
How am I supposed to answer that?
I know, but I loved it. I thought, oh my God, this is the greatest.
I'm gonna say Gretzky.
Okay. I said Jordan.
Okay.
Because he was in the playoffs every year. He won all those championships. I mean, yes, Gretzky dominated. I think Gretzky dominated his sport more than any other player.
How come they didn't put Joe Montana in there?
I guess they consider Brady the best ever. I don't know. I actually think, the more I thought about it, I think the correct answer is Babe Ruth. But, I mean, it's so ancient history that it's like, how do you even put a player from the 1920s and you know?
He did hit, and he did pitch, and yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, we'll leave you with that.
Okay.
All right, next episode, March Madness.
Looking forward
Buckle
to
down.
It.
Buckle. What is it? Fasten your seatbelts.
Yes.
Okay. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.